You are listening to The Edge, a podcast for personal development junkies and visionaries living right at the precipice of oh shit meets fuck yeah. I'm Nadia Munda, an embodiment and relationship coach and a lover of all edges. Stick around to listen to raw, unpolished conversations where we explore our personal and collective edges in all their erotic glory. All right. Well, I was just chatting a little bit with you about how your day's been going and how I've been in the process of moving and getting ready for Burning Man and all the things. I'm curious, what are your days been really filled with recently?
It's interesting because we're recording this in the month of August. I don't know if this will go out, but it's been wedding month season for me. So my days have been a little abnormal. Usually my schedule is really consistent and kind of every Monday looks very similar to the Monday before, but travel twice this month, which kind of then shifts everything. So All of my days have looked very summery and very different. So I've had days that have been maybe more stacked than usual, but then days that have been, for everyone listening, I do one-on-one work. So usually they're not as full. I just like a lot more summery, fun travel and friend time. So my days have been a little, summery.
Do you have a preference as to like, are you more of a routine girl or more of a, I like to have those days where they're super full and then days where I just get to go play?
So I am one of those walking contradictions.
Aren't we all?
My answer is both. The ex-actress in me loves like spaciousness and like room to play and be creative, and I don't want anything to tie me down and I don't want any rules. And then the part of me that loves my business really thrives in the structure and also knows if I have too much freedom and space, it's sort of the whole, is it Parkinson's law? Like things take up, your tasks will fill the time you have. I know if I have too much spaciousness, it's almost like one little thing will take all day. So I do like to have some structure when I'm working, but then I like lots of unstructured free time. So basically I'm a walking dichotomy.
Well, I mean, I think that you should fit in right with the rest of us. we're all a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Totally.
One thing I realized I don't know about you, and I think would also be a beautiful introduction to your journey a little bit to everyone listening, is how did you, you were talking about being an actress previously, or are you still doing any of that work at all? No.
I don't do any acting anymore.
No more acting.
My husband is, we're about to put an audition on tape, but I don't anymore.
Oh, okay. Wow. I didn't know he was too. Okay, cool. So how did you transition? What's the story there from acting to business coach?
You don't think that's a normal transition? That's not logical and linear.
I actually do know a few people who've done that, but it's, but I'm curious to hear your story.
Yeah, I studied psychology in college and I kind of had this, talk about like walking dichotomy. I studied acting at the same time and I either wanted to move to LA and act or go get my PhD in doing more of the research-based side of things. So I obviously chose the acting. I did that for 10 years. And I think this is part of what we want to talk about. I've always been such a big believer in you can make money any way you want and it really matters how you make your money. So for 10 years, that was acting. Mm-hmm. And I hit a point where it just stopped lighting me up and it stopped being, I've always loved to act, but the career aspect of it, I really just stopped enjoying. And I didn't know coaching was a thing. I sort of went, keep this story concise, but I went on this kind of like journey to find myself. I ended up moving to New York City thinking I wanted to work in advertising, got a job in advertising, worked really hard to get that. And sort of one event led to another where I ended up having a conversation with someone at a New Year's party who was a coach. Mm. And it was one of those things where I was like, wait a second, what is happening in this conversation? Whatever is happening here, I want to do what she's doing.
Oh, cool.
And I research, this sounds so silly, but this is the like actual truth. I got home that night, researched coaching, how to become a coach. And I found a coaching program online and the next day dropped, it was $5,000 or something and signed up for it the next day. And that's sort of what led me, the indirect way that led me here.
Amazing. That's so cool. What coaching program did you end up signing up for?
So I think it's a mutual friend of ours. Janine Yoder had Mentor Master Class at the time was the name of the program. I don't even know if she still runs it anymore.
Oh,
I don't even know if it's still a
you
thing.
did Janine's program. Okay. All right. Okay, cool. Yeah, yes, I'm aware of that program.
Yeah.
I obviously haven't gone through it, but yeah. That's so cool. And the person, I don't know if you remember this or not, but the person you spoke to in New York, were they a coach at the Institute of Integrative Nutrition by any chance?
No, it was, it was actually a conversation. I had flown back to Los Angeles, which is where I used to live. And I don't know if you know who Christine Hassler
Yeah,
is. She wrote Expectation
totally.
Hangover. We were at a New Year's
Love
party
her.
Together. I'm not friends with her. I don't even think she would know who I am at this point, but I was just sitting next to her at this party, completely like in that phase of life where like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up, and had a conversation with her. And she was the one where I was just like, who is this? What is she doing? What is like, I want that career. And that's what, you know, the first thought of many that kind of like led the path to coaching as a thing.
The world is such a small place. I also met Christine Hassler through my previous partner in New York. So that's so funny. Wow, she'd be great to have on the podcast too. Maybe I can get her. All right, cool. That's such a fun story. And I hear you on how to become a coach and Googling that, because I'm pretty sure I had a similar path where I was also working at an advertising agency in New York. I was never an actress though, but on the production side of things, and I had to quit because it was just a nightmare. And right then and there, I was sitting going like, what do I even want to do with my life? Like, this is, if I'm not going to do film producing, and which was what I 100% thought was going to be my thing forever. And then I remember like having a random conversation with one of my friends, and she's like, well, you're really good at like nutrition. Like, you're always like tending to people when they're sick, but through holistic methods. I remember looking up like nutrition coaching, holistic health, like something like that, finding my program and signing up also like the next day, because it was an online thing. I was like, okay, let's do it. So that's a funny parallel in our journey.
So funny. I don't think, maybe I knew you were in production. I don't think I knew we had the advertising crossover, but I think it's so funny that like literal, like, let me Google the how to.
Right. Because at the time,
too.
It wasn't that big. No one, like, coaching was not a thing. Like, I would tell people and they're like, huh, what is that? Right. And so now, of course, it's just a booming industry, which is really fun for us sometimes. Depending.
Yeah. Cause I think, I don't know when, I think you might have started a little bit before me, but I'm thinking that was probably 7.5 years ago. Maybe even longer, because I took the program and then I stayed. I didn't start my business right away. I stayed in advertising. I needed to really make sure that wasn't the right thing for me, apparently, before making the leap to starting my business. And I think that was probably 7.5, maybe 8 years ago. And the industry has changed so much in that time.
So much. There was no Instagram. Actually, it was the very beginning.
I remember
posting my first ever photo on Instagram was a spaghetti squash, not cut, literally with a filter, and me going like, can Instagram make a spaghetti squash look good? And that was like the beginning of my health coaching like account.
So funny.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the old school Instagram days.
I know. That was crazy. We had like 3 filters. That was it. Anyways, wow. Okay, cool. That's a fun blast from the past, because yeah, I think we were in New York at the same time, transitioned around the same time. It's pretty cool. It was all sort of parallel, and yet we didn't know each other at the time.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So Kim and I have been in a peer mastermind for, I feel like we're hitting 2 years.
I think it is about 2 years. That's wild. Yeah.
I know. We're really good. We're pretty dedicated. I feel like it's a nice group of not flaky humans. So we've kept going. And yeah, we get to get into all the little details of our behind the scenes in our business. And it's really cool, because we have, you know, different personalities and different strengths. And Kim definitely is so awesome at the business strategy and like marketing side of things. And we all ask her those questions. Like, okay, so tell me how to do this thing. I would love to, I guess, just dive in before we get into the conversation that I really like, the meat and potatoes of today that I really feel I want to get into, which is around money and different ways to make money and how it's not all created equal, right? I wanted to first check in and just see what for you right now, and this could be in life and business and really any area, what for you right now feels like an edge that you are exploring, stretching into, getting worked by?
Yeah, it's interesting because I was thinking about this question and my immediate answer. It's funny how even answering it feels like an edge. And the reason for that is I know me, Kim, 7 years ago, whenever I started my business, would have eye rolled hearing this so hard. But I was sitting here, I was like, I really think the edge I'm sitting in right now is sitting with the discomfort of things being really good in every area of my life. And I say that again, knowing that I would have eye rolled that so hard. And yet it is such an edge I didn't expect, in that it is just really wild how uncomfortable some of those things are. And I've just been witnessing my brain do some really crazy hysterical things to try to kind of like push it away or shove it away. So that is the honest truth of the edge that I'm kind of sitting and I'm playing with and exploring right now.
So good. I hear you on this. I remember being in containers where people would say that, and I'd be like, oh, when I get to that day, I'm not going to be upset about it. And yet I feel similarly, like I'm getting so many of the things I want now. And I'm like watching myself, like hovering over my head and my life and being like, what am I doing? Why am I trying to mess this up? Like everything's so fine. Why am I even upset?
It's so wild. And maybe it feels important to give the context of it's sort of both that I'm so grateful for, and I think probably almost like a guilt that comes with it. But it's been, you'll laugh, I can share this. I think everyone will appreciate this. I found myself coming home from the last wedding I went to, and I was like, it's a wonderful trip, and I got to have travel that I could afford and see good friends. And I was thinking about my marriage and my business is great. And I came home and I spent a whole night spinning out, convinced that the dress I had worn was too bright and it was too flashy and I had ruined every single wedding photo. And I was like stressing myself out, and I was watching myself and witnessing myself going, oh my gosh, this is that upper limit thing people talk about. I'm just so uncomfortable that was just, I'm looking for a problem. Yeah. And so just sort of like sitting in those moments and witnessing them, which again, anyone listening, you're welcome to eye roll, but it's also just very much the truth.
Yeah, we both eye rolled. So whoever's listening, we fully accept you in your eye roll.
Yes.
We've been there. We had the same thoughts. And the interesting thing too is like you can be in this place of stretching and watching yourself try to sabotage your up level and also still be working your ass off in terms of, I don't necessarily mean hours of the day and like burning yourself out, but I mean working your ass off on personal development, on consciousness, on your practices, on like watching yourself, right? Like we're putting in the work. It's not like we're leaning back and being like, okay, woo, you know, it's like there is still challenge in every moment. But I think what shifts when you've been doing the personal development work for quite a while is you also find the deep gratitude. You also find so much more joy than you would have in the past, irrespective of the circumstances, while there's also challenge. So it's like, it's an interesting combo.
I so co-sign that. I mean, if anything, I'm doing more work now probably than I was before in the context that you're talking about in terms of the personal development. I think the difference is I just have more insight and grace with myself to see, I'm sharing this and being a little silly about it, but I also know there's some trauma and there's some pieces under that that are being kicked up in different ways. I think it just gets easier and easier to notice them and to catch them and to move through them and to give myself grace through them. So just to speak to what you're saying, I agree with all of that. And I think that's the work that we just keep doing. It just ideally gets more easeful to lean into.
Yeah. And also I think the up level piece where it feels like, wah, you know, and then you go into a spiral. That is like, it's a nervous system rewiring, like to be suspended, because it really feels like, yes, things are great, but there's also a feeling of being suspended in midair, because you're so elated because everything's good that you're like, there's no ground underneath you. The ground nearly feels like, usually like the problems are the ground. You're like, well, I'm on earth because things are hard. And so then you start to elevate, and then you're suspended and you're like, uh-oh, when is it going to drop? You know? And so of course that feels incredibly uncomfortable. And so to create our own ground nervous system wise, we start to create problems that don't really exist, to be like, oh no, I'm actually on the ground. I'm good.
1000%. I think it feels so unsafe for exactly all the reasons you're saying. I think for most of us, we've learned to create safety through find the problem, fix the problem. Even if it's challenging, it just feels safer to feel like we're chewing on something. And so it's exactly that. When you don't have anything to chew on, you literally use that metaphor of like being suspended in air. I think it literally feels like this can't be safe. I'm like you said, I'm just going to drop. So I really resonate. And that's such a beautiful way to describe exactly the nervous system sensation and feeling. But I think also what our brain is kind of looking for is just like so badly wanting safety in a problem.
Yeah. I don't know. I keep thinking about that documentary. I don't know where it was. I think it was in New York City, actually. Do you ever see that one with that guy who like just puts a wire from one building to another and walks across it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I thought I was going to die watching it, but I feel like that's a bit of the feeling.
Yeah, it is exactly that, where you're actually safe and it's actually fine, but your brain just can't compute and it only sees the ground underneath you.
Totally. Yeah. Awesome. Oh, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I think a lot of us resonate with that piece for sure. And that feeling can, for some people, just show up in a different space, right? It's not necessary. Like it could be a certain area in your life where it just feels way too good to be true.
Yep. And then it can happen in relationships. Yeah. It can happen with money. It can happen with your health. I think it can happen in so many different places.
Yeah. So, okay, cool. Let's talk about money, because money is connected to business, is connected to burnout, is connected to purpose and all the things. And I really, I felt so inspired to bring you on specifically. I mean, we could chat for hours about a million and one different topics, but I really wanted to make sure we talked a little bit about this concept that you introduced. And I think it was just like, I don't even remember exactly where, somewhere on Instagram. And you were talking about how not all money is created equal. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that, because I think this is so important in our industry, but then also I think in life.
Yeah. And I'd love to hear what comes up for you around it as well. My thought process there, and what I just so believe to be true, is how you make your money and what you do with your money matters as much as the money you're making, if not more. And I think we so often get it backwards, where we think it's just about making money for the sake of making money. And when we're wrapped around that axle, I think it can cause us to make really misaligned choices, that we kind of like get to the, in air quotes, there, and realize, oh, wait a second, I thought all of this money was going to solve everything, and I'm more miserable than ever, and I've created a prison of my own making. Mm-hmm. Whereas when we approach making money or business from our values and really what's the way we actually want to make our money, and really focusing on that first and foremost, the money's a beautiful byproduct, but it changes our experience of that money. And I think it energetically changes the actual money. Mm-hmm. There's a great book called Happy Money, and he talks about this, like the difference between happy and basically like sad money. Mm-hmm. Sort of like, if you were to make money from really good work that's in alignment and service driven versus making money because you were stealing or selling drugs that really harm people, you might end up with the same dollar amount, but that money is literally going to have a different energy. And so the way you make your money matters, and then that's your experience of it. And then that also changes what you do with that money. Do you feel great keeping it and spending it and how you're circulating it? Or do you feel so guilty and subconsciously horrible that you know, like that's going to change then your relationship long-term with money. So that's kind of a bullet size version of where that comes from. And it's really been something that's informed every decision. I've believed this for don't know, probably got it from my dad. So from a young age, it's what informed choosing acting over getting my PhD. What
Right.
really informed stopping acting to, I mean, eventually coaching, but why I thought advertising, because I really believe it's not just about the dollar amount in the bank account, but how you make it that matters the most.
Yeah. Well, what I love about this concept too is there's the individual component and then the collective component. And for me, and I imagine a lot of us in this sort of service-based social impact world also like are thinking about both, right? We're like, okay, I'm here to help elevate someone's individual experience of life. And so how can they make more money but doing something they love? And then also the collective experience. How do we pass on and flow money through our communities, you know, whether that be like our little extended family, a village, an entire city, perhaps the community of online coaching. There's a lot of money circulating that way. Like this person who hires this person who hires this person, right? Like we're our own little bubble. But so like whatever it is that there is, there's an impact energetically on the person's life, but then also on the world around them.
Yeah, it makes me think of it's just such a ripple effect. And so the way you're making your money, it's rippling out to the way other people making money. It's sort of like throwing a rock in the pond and just watching those ripples go out. And I think that can be, I mean, for positive or negative, especially when we're thinking community-wide.
Yeah. I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh.
Did I lose you?
Oh, no, I just I heard community wide and then it sounded like you got cut off, but I guess that was the end of the sentence.
It was the end of the sentence, and also we could have had a funny thing happen, but it was the end of the sentence, and
Okay.
I thought I heard a breath from you, and I thought you were saying something. So funny. We're being overly conscious of the other person.
Oh, all good, all good. Yeah, I probably was breathing.
You were probably just being a human breathing, and I was like, oh, she's gonna say something. Let Nadia
Oh,
speak.
all good, all good. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to. I guess the next piece I'm curious about is, do you feel that, you know, you've got a little bit of an unorthodox, it's sad that we even have to say that, but a little bit of an unorthodox business model for a business coach. I'd love for you to share a little bit about that and whether that concept of not all money is created equal has largely informed your choice of business model.
I'll answer the second half of the question first. Yes, absolutely, it's informed this. And then I'll explain my business model. But I really think all money's not created equal, and the way you make your money matters so much has really informed all of my business. And I'm grateful for it. But I, for everyone listening, I'm a one-on-one business coach, and I've really intentionally chosen to grow and scale my business through one-on-one. And I think what Nadia's speaking to and why it's maybe unorthodox, which is, yes, possibly sad to say, maybe not sad to say, but just why it's a little funny to say. So I think it's just not what we usually see in our space. I know so much of what I was taught up until a certain point was very much more the ascension model. And it was almost like, how do you scale your way out of one-on-one as quickly as possible so that you can scale your income, with the sort of this idea that the more people you serve, the more you have groups, the more you have large programs, the more money you can make. And I think group programs are incredible. And I know for me and the way I'm best able to serve, kind of the part Nadia was speaking to with this, the serving piece, and the way I'm best able to support my clients to create money in a way that's really in alignment for them is through the one-on-one work. And that's the way that feels best for me to create my money. So I've chosen that model to scale, even if that's at the expense of the larger income months and years, because it's so important to me to have that piece that feels in congruence with my work, but also for my people.
Yeah, and both, right? Like it's a win-win because you know you're delivering the most impact. through that model, and then for you it feels good.
Yeah. And I'd rather, I mean, let's not kid anyone. I'm making great money for, you know, like I'm so grateful for the income my business is making, but I would rather make this income. And if I never make any more money ever, have this ceiling because I feel so good about the way I'm making that money, than make double doing it in a way that doesn't feel good to me or that doesn't feel on service to the people mm-hmm. I'm working with. And I think that's just a very conscious decision I've made.
Yeah.
And I think that's so much of what you're about as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is such a pet peeve of mine, where at some point I get that we all need to be functioning businesses, and like you and I are, you know, we're doing, I mean, I don't know if you get into numbers and stuff, but just in general, like you are making numbers that no other one-on-one business coach could make or does make that I'm aware of. And so it is possible. I share this because it's like, I want to debunk the myth that like, it's not possible to make a shit ton of money.
Yes.
Serving the way that you want to serve, which may happen to be one-on-one. And you and I have that thing in common where I love one-on-one. I do run a couple of groups, but those to me are a little bit more teaching and mentoring. It's not really pure coaching, right? Because how much can you really coach someone? I mean, you can laser coach a little bit on a group call, but there's a limit. And even my group programs have one-on-one. Like I keep trying to do something with that one-on-one. And then every time I'll add one-on-one in, because I'm like, I cannot work with a human being and not want to get all up in their business. Like look through everything and be like, okay, here's what we can do, right? Like it's so fun. It's so fun. And it's so, it feels so fulfilling. Right. And I think that's why both of us are like, nope, actually one-on-one and online. There was this point where scaling became the holy grail. And I get that from a business perspective, but coaching is this interesting overlap between business and also like helping people change their lives and impact. And so we forgot about the impact part. I'm like, okay, but what actually makes the difference and what actually is going to be most supportive to changing this person's life?
Yeah. I think it's like, we almost forgot the reason we got into business, and not we, but I think just our space sometimes like forgot why we got into business in the first place. And why we chose to be coaches or to be in a industry that really is about serving and supporting and helping people have transformation, almost at the expense of the business and at the expense of the income, which is kind of the whole conversation we're having. And I think the irony of it all for everyone listening, the part that is just so interesting and fascinating for me to see, is I think I genuinely make more money as a result of not choosing that as kind of the thing that's pulling me forward, because I chose really the way I make the money over the money first, than if I had chosen the, in air quotes, like quickest path to scale, because that would have been so out of alignment. I honestly don't know. Mm. I think technically I have the audience and all of that where, I don't know, maybe we could scale to 1 million faster or something, but I don't know that I'd genuinely be able to, or that it would even be sustainable, because it would just feel like crap to me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's not sustainable. When we feel like crap, there's only, and if we're embodied humans, like there's only so long we can stay there before we go, whoopsies, this doesn't feel good.
Yeah. So it's sort of like the way you make your money matters, or like everything we're talking about here. It's like, that's also your plan for sustainability and avoiding burnout and avoiding resentment and avoiding being one of the people that hires me saying, I've built this really successful business, I want to burn to the ground. Like the beautiful thing is, it's like, you just get to avoid that from the start.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, one thing I heard that really resonated for me, because for so long I tried to do the quantity thing. I felt like the scaling game, the quantity game, where it was like, go wider. And it was like this idea that there's actually two types of businesses, at least in the coaching industry, where it's like there's like the wide business that's all about like deep impact through like quantity, right? It's like, how many people can we impact, even if it's through just like an e-course or a little $100 masterclass or something like that. And it's, so it's like, it's about casting the net really wide and having your impact that way and having success measured by that. And then there's go, like, it's a qualitative model where it's like, go deep with a few people, mm-hmm. right? Like it's really targeted and feels a bit like, you guys can't see me right now, but me and my hands, they always are doing things. They're like, I don't know. It just feels like a funnel in, right? Like you're targeting, you're going inward with a few people. And I don't think that there's a hierarchy. There's not one that's better than the other. It's about finding what's true to you. And I think the only thing that gets me upset or irritated is when there's a little bit of the rhetoric of it can only be this way and that scaling is the king. That's when I get annoyed. I'm like, that is incorrect information.
False. I so agree. I think both are beautiful. I think I have plenty of clients who would be miserable being on one-on-one calls all day. That is not their path. That's not the way they want to create money. They are doing kind of the more quantitative, right? That's the wider model, and that's beautiful for them. I think it's exactly what you're saying. I think we just get ourselves so stuck when we're hearing messages that there's only one way and there's one secret and this is the only path and it's this or the highway. And I think that's when we almost stop listening to ourselves, and kind of the whole part of what we started our conversation here, I think that's when we lose sight of the ways we want to make money and how we can create the impact we want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So do you think like this concept, like when you look at the work that you do with your one-on-one clients, do you feel like a lot of your work is getting them to identify where are they making money in ways that doesn't feel good for them and sort of shifting them into more of a model where they are making money that feels really fucking awesome?
Yeah, we might not always use those words, but I mean, so much of what we're looking at is what's on their terms and how are we building self-trust and kind of like taking that power back to make those decisions and choices and see you really can have it any way you choose and want and decide. And it doesn't have to look the way the online gurus are teaching you or the like one way it's been taught in the last, I don't know, whatever the popular class is online. It's so much more about, yeah, I think so much of the work is about tuning back into their, I call it your version of success, but really what is their version, their path, the way they want to create money, and seeing that's absolutely possible. And that's really going to end up ultimately being the most sustainable and scalable process for them anyway.
Mm-hmm. So usually when people come to you, I know it's so custom because it's one-on-one, but obviously I'm sure there's some themes. What are they usually coming? Like, what is the challenge they have and where do you guys start?
Oh, that's I'm like, where do we start? Mm-hmm. I think it really is so different for everyone. I would say kind of the like surface presenting like level problem is often either I'm not making the money I want and I want to create kind of that sustainable income and I don't know how to do that, or I want to scale my business and I don't know how to do it in a way that isn't going to have me want to burn it to the ground. And then yeah. I do get a handful of people who come to me where they have scaled, and but they've kind of scaled in that way where it's like, I want to burn this to the ground. How do I pivot? Like, what do I need to untangle here? So if I'm either pivoting or starting over, I'm doing it in a way that is more in alignment, but still is giving me that profitability I want. So it's kind of depends on like what stage of business someone's at, but I'd say it's, you know, the kind of core component there is I want to make more money and I want to make money in a way that feels good.
Yeah. Are there any other like myths that you feel are circulating in our industry other than the like scaling is the only way or the best way that you find get sort of indoctrinated into your clients before they're your clients that you then have to sort of be like, nope, honey, that's not how it goes.
I think there's so many myths in our space. One of the things that's been feeling very present recently. And I think I go through cycles of where this feels present. It's probably what's coming up a lot for clients right now, is this whole idea that there must be something you're missing, and that someone out there has the answer, or has the secret, or like, there's, I don't know, if you work with me long enough, like, then I'm going to tell you the secret strategy that leads you to the $1 million, or that someone else knows what that is.
Yeah.
And I think it's just such a myth that marketing, for better or worse, really perpetuates, because that's what gets people to open their wallets. But it's just so false, and it just like sucks away people's power. And the truth is, there is no secret. There's no secret formula. I don't know anything that anyone listening doesn't know about business. It's like, sounds so cheesy, but all the answers are within us, and most people know what they need to do. It's just, are they doing them or not? So I'd say that's probably one of the biggest, most present myths that seems to be coming up recently on calls, mm-hmm. because people want to fight for, no, but I must be missing something. Like, what's the thing I'm missing?
You know, we all sort of get trapped in that a little. Like, I think I'm like calling myself out. I'm like, I still have these moments where I'm like, there's something about Instagram I'm missing. Like, if I just hire that one person who knows how to do Instagram well, I'm going to figure it out, you know? And it's, you're right. Like, it's just that I don't want to do Instagram. Like, it's just totally, like if I posted as much as they did, I probably would be just fine. But I literally just, I'm like, nope, not my priority.
Totally. It's so funny. I just did a live stream before this on how I grew my Facebook group to 16.5K or whatever. So it's profitable and engaged, uh-huh. but like, a bulk of the conversation was, these are like the really basic things I did. Like, so much of it was more the mindset, and I've just been doing it for a long time. And I know everyone watching was like, but waiting for me to like give them that secret thing where it's like, and then I did this strategy where I like rubbed my nose and like did it under the full moon. And like, this is the thing that made it pop. And it's like, no, it's like, really, I just showed up every day for however many years and did these very simple things you know how to do too. So it's almost like a letdown, I think, sometimes when we hear those things. But it's just so funny because all of our brains, I do it too. I'm like, what is that $1 million business owner doing that I don't know? Like, they're not doing anything different.
Nothing. I promise.
I work with those clients. They're not doing anything. They don't have different challenges. They have the same stuff. They just get better at navigating, I think, and handling their ish and bringing it to coaching and being willing to look at it and move through it. I would say that's, if there was a secret, that would be more of what it is.
Yeah, I gotta say, you know, there is so much that, there's just so much to the process of just showing up over and over again to anything, your business as a whole, just being like, nope, not giving up, nope, gonna continue, gonna keep doing it, gonna show up again after the failed launch, show up again, right? And like, there is a cumulative effect there where, I mean, I tried all sorts of strategies over the years, none of which were useful in any way. But what did continue to grow my business was not giving up.
It's so the truth. I think it's sometimes frustrating when people hear that, because there is, I think there's that part of our brain that wants the secret, because it also then means we don't have to be the person who keeps showing up until it happens. You know what I mean? It's almost easier to wait for the secret. But it's just, I mean, I tell people this all the time, like, my business is not that complicated. My strategy is pretty basic. Every strategy works, even the, like the worst, most janky strategies work if you work them. It's just, you have to be willing to keep showing up and keep being consistent. And like, that's when you're looking at people who have the epic success or the next level success, usually the only difference is they've just been willing to stick with it a little longer than you.
Yeah. And that brings us back to the like, not all money is created equal thing, where it's like, okay, you have to do something you love to sustain the energy to want to keep showing up for it. Like, we're not showing up to things we don't like. All the things that I didn't really love to do, I would do for a little while and then be like, eh, you're right. And then it would sort of just disappear. And then sometimes I'll go back and just get like, oh, convinced. Oh yeah, there's this thing I should do. And then I try to do it a little. So the only things that have kept going are the things I actually love to do: writing, coaching, teaching, the end. Mm-hmm. Right. And the same for you. You're like, okay, I'll dabble in like something, a different offering, but actually I just keep reverting back to one-on-one because I just freaking love it and I'm going to keep showing up for it.
And it's really the best strategy. I know we were talking about you know, like it's not just the money you make, it's the way you make it that matters. But I think just seeing when you can then get clear on the things you actually want to do and pick those things, that is strategic. It's literally the best strategy. I'm sure we were talking about how long we've been in our space. I'm sure you've seen so many people who like had some success and then we've never heard from them ever again. And most likely it's because it's not that they didn't know how to create success or make money. It's probably just because they didn't like the way they were making their money. And everything you're saying is like, if you pick the things you actually like, that is a sustainable strategy that you'll then just be the person who's still sticking around making money years later.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really playing the long game and going, all right, am I trying to get the magic bullet, magic million, right? Mm-hmm. And there's so much of that, like 12 months in, I made $1 million. I'm like, okay, but will you be doing that in 6 years from now? Or will you be falling apart? And maybe not, right? Because everyone's journey is a little different. But I just think, yeah, again, it's more the pet peeve of being sold something that just isn't realistic for most of us. And there might be the occasional outlier who like has that journey and that's their karma and that's like they're working some stuff out that way. Cool. But like, it's not most of ours. Most of ours is like, figure out what you love to do, keep showing up. Cool. Reroute a little when you fall off, come back, do it again.
Yeah. And I don't know if this feels true for you or not, but I know for me, I feel like when you find that thing that feels good for you and kind of the way you want to make money, it does actually speed up the process. I just know for me, part of what elongated that process is I didn't know what that was. And I had to do some trial and error to figure that out. And I think sometimes when we see those people who seem to have that really quick growth, oftentimes they've had a business before, maybe that you don't know about, but a lot of times they've just done the work somewhere else to have that clarity on what the way they want to make their money that feels really great and of service is.
Yeah.
Does that feel true to you at all? Or that I feel like I went through definitely that phase in my business.
There's that. There's, yeah, that a lot of people think, oh, overnight successes are, you know, bad. And turns out actually they've been an entrepreneur for 20 years doing all sorts of other things. And then there's also like, to me, the more spiritual angle that I personally feel is quite important, which is to understand that everyone is in here in this lifetime to work out some stuff. And each one of us was given different stuff to work out in different areas of our lives. And so for some of us, like I look at, you know, I'm friends with so many coaches and have so many colleagues that I'm friendly with in the space. And you know, for some people, like money, not a problem, right? Their business, easy peasy. All day long, they can do it. It's like not even something to worry about. But intimacy, relationship, oh my gosh. Right? Like that's what they're working out. And for some of us, it's the other way around. It's like, oh, I feel really good here and in this area. For someone else, it might be like body image stuff or like, so it's like we each have our thing. And I think once it helped me be kinder to myself and also kinder to everyone around me when I started to take on that frame that, oh, actually, everyone's just working out their shit in a different area. And just because, you know, Susie over there Susie's not a real person, you guys, just so you know. Okay. I made up a name. I'm literally trying to think of someone's name who I don't know and who doesn't exist in the industry as far as I know. Like, okay, so Susie over there is making $1 million and has only been in business for 4 years. I've been in business for 9 years and I'm making, you know, whatever, that fraction of that. And like, instead of going into that comparison, realizing that, oh, okay, so Susie does that really well, but actually I can really support her in the intimacy realm because, you know, she's been dating and just can't get around to like finding what she wants over there. And perhaps Susie can help me a little bit in the area that feels a little bit more challenging for me, which is actually more in the business and money realm. And so if we can just get on that train that like, hey, everyone's just working out their shit in a different place, there's going to be less of a comparison game and more of like just showing up with empathy, I think.
1,000%. And then you can also appreciate, I think, because I think about this so often, like what we're talking about, almost like my edge at the beginning, it's like, then you can appreciate the things that are good instead of almost like wanting to create problems there, realizing that your fish is still coming up somewhere else. And that's just kind of like why we all chose this human form to come onto this 3D experience or planet Earth, you know, in. And like we just all have that to encounter, but there's no one who doesn't have whatever their thing is that they're navigating and working through. This is so random, but not random because it's related to this. Have you read Conversations with God?
No, but I should.
It's not religious at all, but there's a part where it talks a lot about this. It's why it came to mind, where he talks about how essentially our, like, I'm going to butcher this, but like, you know, I think it's everything you're saying, like our soul will keep coming back over and over again to like learn different things or choose different things. But it's almost like we literally choose the challenge we want to experience on this earth. Like that's the reason we're here and kind of like what we get excited for. We just forget once we're born what that is. But it was just like the way it was phrased was just very, just to what you're speaking to, was very calming to my system. I'm like, oh, well, the things that come up for all of us in some spiritual realm, like these were things we really chose. We just forgot that. And I think then we can make ourselves less wrong about them or for them.
Yeah.
It's a good book.
Okay, please send it to me. I would love to I would love to get the name and, I mean, I got the name, but the author and all that.
Yeah, I'll send you that.
So yes, 100% all about it. You know, we're just so hard on ourselves. And I think there is, I go back and forth because I hold two different truths, and I'm curious how you feel about this. One is that like there is this like this repetition of a cycle with capitalism that's happening for us in the coaching industry, where it's like more, 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 more. And like, oh, okay, I made 500K, next year I got to make a million. I made a million, now I got to make 2 million, right? Like it's just the same formula that has been sort of coursing through a lot of different capitalistic entities and systems for quite a while now. And it comes in a slightly more conscious costume, you know, but it's really just the same thing. It's like more, 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 more. And at the same time, I hold this other truth of like, may we have more, 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 and more. like, let us have everything we've ever desired, and especially circulation of wealth too. Embodied feminine leaders, and by feminine leaders, it doesn't matter what gender you are. I'm literally talking about holding to certain feminine principles or bringing them into your work along with the masculine principles, where it's about the community and distributing wealth and like holistic worldview and, you know, just like that type of leadership. If we can get more money into the hands of those people, then the world does become a better place. And so I have like one foot in this realm and one foot in the other, where I'm going, both are true. I want everyone to have all the money that they want, and not just for altruistic reasons, for themselves, right? But I think you can have both. But then also there is this underbelly sort of shadowy side of the coaching industry, where there's this insatiable hunger of that never ends, that is fine as long as it's not an addiction, right? It's fine as long as it's not making you unhappy or burning you out in other areas. And again, that goes back to the like, not all money is created equal. If you're making those $1 million and you're as happy as a clam, fucking great. And extra plus points if you're like, you know, a feminine principled leader. But then what if you're just constantly grabbing onto more and more and more? Like you lose yourself in that.
Yeah, the thought that comes up for me, because I think both have a place and both are true. I think it's kind of what you were saying before you started this, with just how hard we can be on ourselves. And I just think to so many clients where it's like, that's the work they're unwinding. And I think when we're chasing more and more and more as a way to essentially make ourselves wrong, where it's sort of like, this is never enough, or I need to keep making more, or my business is failing, or it's not good enough. Or I think we've had conversations about that in different ways before. I think that's where it's like the more is like more for the sake of more, or more is a way to make you wrong unless you're achieving that. And it's like, you only get the gold star when you make a continually increasing amount, I think that's when it's really detrimental. But I think otherwise, it's so beautiful to want more and to want to expand and to want to grow and to see that that is possible and to see that you can do that in a way on your own terms that really is in alignment, that's of service of you and of others. I think it's just sort of like, it's almost like, what's the energy and the impetus behind it? But the piece you said before is, I think, the part that makes that capitalistic side sort of like, are we in the more side, you know, damaging way or in that way that's really of service for our, really our own selves.
Yeah, that feels so true. I love everything you said. There's like little pieces of that we could like pull out and make a whole nother podcast on, right? It's like, there's just so much in there, but I think ultimately what you're saying is like, just find the things, and it takes a while, it's a journey in and of itself, but like find the things that make you happy while making you money. The end.
Choose the happy money. Choose the name of the book. I mean, that's a book title I can't take credit for, but choose the happy money. And when you have happy money, I mean, this is a little on the spiritual side of money, but I really think money has an energy, and that's going to change then your whole relationship with money, but your relationship and the way of making it. And man, this is so cheesy, but it's just so true. It's like the journey is the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like it's the whole point. It's like we don't arrive somewhere and then suddenly it's like how we spend our day to day is really what matters anyway. So choose the happy money, because it's going to make your day to day so much better and so much richer.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to make sure I'm going to get the info from Kim on both of these books, because I feel like people now just want to go read them as well.
Yeah. And don't let Conversations with God, don't let that name, like for anyone who's not traditional religion, it's more spiritual. It's more some of these questions we were unpacking here. It's a really, really great read.
Yeah, I'm excited to pick up both of those books, actually. I haven't read either. Okay, I want to plug your podcast.
Yeah, what can I tell everyone? Okay. I have a podcast.
So Kim's got a podcast, and it's such a cool concept. Can you tell them about the concept?
Yes, it's called One Question, Unapologetic Questions for Unapologetic Results. And kind of some of the things we were talking about today, where I really believe the answers are inside of you. And what coaching is all about is helping tap into your answers and helping you take your power back. And really, that's what allows you to create your success and create money on your terms. That's what I really believe. That's what we put into this podcast. In each episode, we explore one question and we explore the thinking behind it and ways you can use it. So you can really ask yourself that question to tap into your own answers instead of me just giving you a bunch of regurgitated information for like a how-to in business.
So good. I'm obsessed. Because here's the thing, like I talk about this all the time. I get so preachy sometimes. Anyways, like I love basically, it. Basically, I mean, right. We're in the right business. We're like, well, we have to talk for a living, but also we ask questions for a living. And that's why I love this concept so much. Is like, I remember when I first was getting more like classical life coach training through my previous partner. And it wasn't like an official training. I did my official holistic health coaching training, but then when I was trying to just get good at becoming like a life coach, like a more traditional life coach, I used to listen to so many of the very old school life coaches, Rich Litvin, Steve Chandler, Christine Hassler's from that world as well. I learned from Rich Litvin specifically, I think it was, that it's all about asking the right question. That's your job as a coach. Can you ask what is the best question to ask in this conversation? Because we're not here to give answers. We're not here to give advice. We're not here to give formulas or strategies. Like what we said, you know, we're here to help guide you to the answers within, and the right question does that. And that's actually what a coach is. But I think that also got a little bit diluted when the coaching industry boomed, and suddenly there was a confusion between mentorship, I think, and teaching and actual, like the traditional style of coaching. And so I feel like your podcast took that and really like ran with this concept and that just feels so potent to me.
I love that you love that also, which Litwin, I can never say his name correctly, but mm-hmm. so many nuggets from him that I've learned. I feel like it probably like planted seeds for even the idea for the podcast, because some of those old school coaches, same as you, listen to so much of their wisdom, and I think that's been applied a lot. And yeah, he's all about like asking the better questions to get the better answers, and I think that's such a great way to think about coaching. So I'm glad the podcast resonates with you and that comes across. That is the whole intention and point.
So we'll link to that as well in the show notes, guys, and check it out. It's called One Question, right? That's what, if they look it up,
One Question, just Unapologetic Questions for Unapologetic Answers.
So
I will throw you some of the hard, challenging questions and some of the easy questions too in each episode, and would love to have you answer them for yourself.
Awesome. Cool. All right. So other than the podcast, where can people find you?
You can find me, probably the best place to find me is my Facebook group, Business Besties and Creative Bosses. That is where I hang out the most. We do a lot of free trainings in there, free lives. We have all sorts of content that's in there. So I would say that's the best place. I'm also on Instagram and kind of all the social medias, but I would come say hi in Business Besties, Creative Bosses, and let me know you heard our conversation. I'd love to hear what takeaway comes up for you. If there's anything you want to share, tag me in the group and let me know.
Yeah. Oh, it's popping over there. I remember when I was on Facebook, I used to like peek in every so often and be like, whoa, so much is happening over here. It's so good. But I have since currently not on Facebook. I peek in every so often, but it was a really beautiful resource for me to have when I was on there. So for those of you who are on Facebook, definitely check that out as well. And obviously you can find Kim on Instagram. All these things will link. So just head on to the show notes and all the links will be there. Oh my gosh. Like so many of these conversations, I never want to end, but then I'm like, people are busy and have things to do. So
I could talk to you forever, but I'm guessing everyone listening also has things to do. But
I guess.
So thank you for asking me really great questions. Speaking of the power of questions.
Thanks. It was so great to have you and to have your wisdom and knowledge and perspective on. And can't wait for more conversations.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, imagine this. 3 days with me and some other phenomenal women, deepening into your erotic expression, your erotic exploration, your turn on, juicing yourself up right before the depths of winter. You've got a private chef making you the most delicious meals, a hot tub to decompress the day in. You get to spend 3 days really styling, getting seduced by music, getting a deep sense of who you are as an erotic being. Okay, in this beautiful retreat nestled in the mountains of Boulder. And at the end of it all, you get an erotic movement photo shoot for yourself to encapsulate this fully, to remember it forever. This is the erotic mapping retreat, and it is happening so freaking soon, and I want you there. This is for a very particular woman who is ready to go into the depths of her truest expression, her deepest range. She is ready to get raw and fucking vulnerable in front of a group of women. And she's ready to just say, fuck yes, let's do it. And let's do it now, because this thing is coming up real soon. November 10th through the 13th, I am taking 6 women on a journey. You walk in and you walk out a different woman. Every single woman who came to the last retreat said that it was life transforming and that they wanted more, more, more. So I've added an extra day to this retreat, and I want you to be there. So if you are interested, hit us up at info@nadiamunla.com And we will send you a link with all the information. Alternatively, you can check out the show notes in this episode, and we will also have a link at the end to the Erotic Mapping Retreat. I cannot wait to see you there. If you enjoyed the guest on this episode, you can head on over to the show notes to get more info on their bio, their work, their website, and all the good stuff. I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. We would love for you to rate and review the show, and I'd love to know your takeaways from the episode. You can do that by DMing me on Instagram at Nadia Munla.